Nesechtes Nazir, Daf Nun, 10 lines on the top of Daf Nun Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now quotes from Mishnah, Al-Kazayis Meis, Val-Kazayis Netzal. So our Mishnah brought 11 different ways that Nazir becomes Tummy with Tumas Meis, and the Din of Nazir Tummy would apply, meaning that Nazir at that point would have to wait 7 days and be Matar himself from Tumas Meis, having the Azov the Paraduma on the 3rd and 7th day, and going to the Mikvah on the 7th day. He would also have to bring 3 Kabbanis, his Hashem Nazir, his Chata Saif, and his Oil. He would have to do taglachas, he would have to shave his hair. Finally, he would have to restart his Zeros period as Vayom HaRishayim Yiplu, as he forfeits the previous days they counted towards the Zeros period. The second and the third way that the Mishnah mentioned that a Nazir will become a Nazir Tameh is by being Tameh to a Kazayas Mace, either through Maga Masa or through Oil HaMace, and being in the same oil as a Kazayas of a Mace, or Baal Kazayas Netzal, or being in the same oil or Maga Masa of a Kazayas of Netzal. The Gemara will discuss exactly how do we know that something is netzel, but the basic definition of netzel is a kezias of a disintegrated and decomposed flesh. And based on halacha l'moshe m'sinai, we learn out that even though this is disintegrated and decomposed flesh, and at this point it's not really basa, and even so a person that comes into contact with netzel or is in the oil of netzel would become tameh meis, and a nazir will have to go through the entire process just like any other nazir that becomes tameh meis. And the Gemara begins, ve'ezo netzel, what is considered the netzel, basa meis shekarish, is referring to flesh of a corpse that decomposed and now congealed. In addition, you could have a case where it's not congealed, but it's some sort of a liquid, or moil shehasiach, and it's also the fluid of a corpse that bubble when heated on fire. And our Gemara first focuses on basa meis shekarish, and the Gemara is, hechidami, what is this case referring to? Ilem deleyadina dedehu, if you talk about a case where someone found some congealed substance and he didn't know if it came from a mess or not, kikarish mayhave, who cares that you found some sort of substance that was congealed? There are many substances in the world that can congeal, and therefore there's no reason to be misupik that maybe this came from a mess, and therefore there's no reason to be choshish that this item is tamei. And the rush is in that in chenami there may be some sort of a suffix here, but even so, how could it be that a nazir will be able to keep the dinim of a nazir that becomes tamei if one of the dinim is that the nazir has to shave his hair, and since he's a nazir, he can't shave his hair misufik, as suffik derais l'chum, and he should not be able to shave his hair, as he has to be mesupik that maybe this substance actually came from the saliva or mucus of a mace or some other fluid in general, and therefore he should not be able to shave his hair. I am in the rush, as well as in Tisus. And if you're going to say that we knew that this item actually came from a mess, so afagav lekarish, even if it didn't congeal, since we know that it came from a mess, therefore bevadai it should be tamei. Therefore the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yemi explained, bestam, we're talking about a case where the person knew that this congealed substance definitely came from a corpse and definitely came from a dead body. However, there's a suffix if it came from the actual basa and from the flesh of the person, and therefore it's tummy, or did it come from some other liquids of the body, for example, the saliva or mucus or other fluid that comes out of a body, and that is not considered tummy. As Mufarish states, the leka kecha vineya b'meis tummy, the cholam mashkema yetzim meis tahirin chutz min adam, as all liquids that come out of a mace would be tar unless it's actual blood. And therefore, what the Gemara meant to say when it stated Ve'ezu Netzal, and the Gemara said Basa Meisha Karish, is actually telling us that this is the test in order to determine if this item is actually from the flesh of a human being, or if this item is actually from some other fluid that came from a human being and would be tar. And therefore, the determining factor is E Karish Vade Malu. If you see that this decomposed piece of a body is actually congealing, then we realize that it must be that it actually came from Basa, and therefore it would be considered tamei. However, loy karash, if this item never congeals, dimu kicha v'nihu, then potentially this item could be saliva or mucus or some other fluid from a human being, and that is not considered tamei, and therefore we would consider this tar. Now the Rishonim and the Achreinim are bothered that l'chayra, if it's loy karash, the Gemara stated dimu kicha v'nihu, meaning that it's still a suffix that potentially it's mucus or saliva, but it seems that there's still a possibility that it is still moil and it would still be mitamei. And l'chayra, if it's suffik tumma, then l'chayra it should go based on the dinim of suffik tumma. And if you found this item b'rishis rabim, it should be tar. And if it's suffik tumma b'rishis yachid, then it should be tamei. And since in most cases we find a dead body and we find parts of a dead body in a b'rishis yachid, then l'chayra the Gemara should have said that this item is tamei misafik. However, ayin and some rishonim that they take out the word dilma, and therefore they learn that if it's like karish, if we find some sort of an item and it's not congealed and it never congeals, then kicha v'nei Niu, then for certain, this item did not come from the Basa Mace, and it actually came from his saliva or mucus or other fluid, and therefore it definitely will be tar. And Taisus explains that even though our Gemara was focusing on a case where the actual Basa Mace was Karash and congealed, however, the end of the Gemara will fit in even in the second case where the Gemara said you had Moyel Shersiach, where we had some fluids of a corpse that bubbled when heated on fire. And Taisus explains, V'hachin Nami Yeshil Farish Kabi Siach Delo Yedinon, that we're discussing a case where we're not certain where this substance came from, and therefore, V'chia Siach, when you heat it up, V'hela Resichais, and it boils, then Vadai Moyel Haba Mehemesu, it must be that this is actually a substance that came from the mess, V'zeo Netzel, and is Netzel, and therefore it's Tame, Lo Yetiach, Kichavineyohu. However, if it doesn't boil up, then you know that's certainly saliva or mucus or other fluid that came from a mess, and it would be tar. And the Gemara continues, Bayim Minei Abayim Rabba, Abayi asked the following Shaila from Rabba, and as Tais points out, the following Shaila has nothing to do with the din of the Naziris, as the Shaila will focus on the din of the Nevela, and of course, even if a Nazir becomes Tamei from touching the Nevela, that would not cause him to become a Nazir Tamei, and of course, he doesn't lose any of his previous days of Naziris, he doesn't need Taglachas, and he doesn't have to bring his Kabanais. However, since we mentioned that there is Halacha Meshim Sinai, that even though the Basa Meis already decomposed and it became Netzel, that it still is Metame Ba'oil, so therefore the Gemara now asks, does this din also apply for negating the din of the Vela? And therefore, Abaye asks Rabba, Yesh Netzel Behema, or Ein Netzel Behema, is this din of Netzel applicable to the din of a Behema and to the din of a Vela? Therefore, just like we know that the Kazayas of a Basa Vela is Metame and it's considered Abatoma, and therefore, even though someone has a piece of Netzel which is decomposed flesh, the din would still be that it still remains as a nevela, and the din would be that it still is considered avatoma, and if a person touches the nevela, he would become a rishon l'tuma. Or do we say that in netzel behema, there is no din of netzel by behema, and once a behema disintegrates and decomposes to the point that it becomes netzel, it's no longer considered nevela, and therefore it doesn't have a din of tuma anymore, and if a person would touch it, the person would not become tamei. And Abaye continues and explains, mi aminan, do we say, ki gemiri netzel da asimi adam, when did we state that Halacha Meshim Sinai B'digei Netzel is only regarding that substance which actually started from an Adam, Avod Asim B'Heim Eloi, but when we have Netzel which came from a decomposed animal, so then we would not say that Halacha Meshim Sinai, and we would not look at it as Nevela anymore, and therefore it would lose its status of Tuma, and if a person would come into contact with this Netzel, he would not become Tamei. And the second side of Abaye is, Oydil Moloi Shna, or do we say that once it's Halacha Meshim Sinai, then Netzel has a din of the thing that it came from, and therefore, just like we said by a netzel of Adam, it has a din of a kazayis min ames, and it's metame ba'oil, so too the din would be that netzel that came from a nevela would be metame b'magu masa, just like a nevela is metame something b'magu masa. And before we continue with the Gemara Shaila and the Gemara's response, let's just point out the following, that there's machlekes b'negeya tuma chamura, which is defined as tuma of a nevela, since it's metame at a high level, and it's metame as an avatuma, and the Shaila is, at one point, does an Avela lose its status of an Avela and it is no longer Mitame? So there's one side that says, since the Torah states B'negei an Avela, L'geashe B'sherech T'tanana V'achela, we learn Haruya L'geah Kri an Avela, any item of food which is still Roy for a Ger to eat, that is considered an Avela and therefore would still be Mitama. However, She'ini Roy L'geah, once it's an item of food that is no longer Roy L'achela Sodom and therefore it's not Roy for a Ger, ain't a Kri an Avela, at that point it loses its Shem Avela and it will not be Mitame. And the other side is that even if it's ain't a roi l'achilas adam, but it's still roi l'achilas kelev, it would still be considered nevela, and it would still be mitame. However, the only time that nevela loses its status as a nevela, and therefore will not be mitame, is only once it loses its status and it's no longer fit even l'achilas kelev. And in a moment, the Gemara will also discuss the concept of tumakala, which refers to any michael which is not a nevela, which is considered tumakala, since a food product always starts as a rishonal tuma, and therefore, if someone has a food product that's nifsu ma'achilas adam, it's still considered food because it could be eaten by a kelev, and therefore the food product would still be considered tamei and could also transmit tuma. However, once it becomes nifsu ma'achilas kelev, it is no longer considered a food product, and therefore would not be considered tamei and would not be able to transmit tuma at that point either. And Taisus points out, and from this din that the Gemara brought about tuma kalo, it's not a nafkamina for our sugya, and it's not relevant to our sugya, we only brought it down agav the fact that we brought down the din of Tumah Chamura, Ayin and Taisus. Let us now continue our Gemara, and let us remember that Abaye just asked Rabbah, do we have a din of Netzel Behemah? And even though something is already already disintegrated and something is decomposed, but still it's considered an avela and therefore would be metame? Or do we say that in netzel behema, that there is no din of netzel regarding a behema, and even though netzel will be metame ba'il by an adam, however, regarding a behema, if someone has a piece of decomposed nevela, that would not be metame. Therefore, if a person touches or carries a piece of netzel of a nevela, the din would be that he would be tar. The Gemara now states, certainly Abaye doesn't have a shayla according to the mandama that holds that the only time that nevela is considered tame is only up to the point that it's nifsal me'achilas adam. But once it's nifsal me'achilas adam, it's no longer considered nevela, and therefore will not be metame at all. And therefore, certainly the din is that ein netzel behema, as netzel is certainly nifsal me'achilas adam, and even if it would be actual piece of nevela, it wouldn't be metame any longer. And therefore, at this point, since it's netzel and it's already decomposed nevela, then certainly it doesn't have a din of a nevela any longer, and therefore it cannot be metame. And as we stated before, that even though the Gemara just brought down hanich lemanda amar tuma chamura adleger and tuma kala adlekelev, the din of tuma kala adlekelev is not relevant to our Gemara, but the taich of tuma kala adlekelev means that in regard to a tuma which is considered a tuma kala, for example, like food, which is only tame as a rishon, then the din is that food can become tame and can transmit tuma even if it's nifsal me'achilas adam. However, the only time that's not considered a food product anymore, and since it's not considered a food product anymore, therefore it cannot receive tumah and it cannot transmit tumah, is only once the food product becomes nifsal me'achilas kelev. The Gemara continues and states that Abaye Shaila is according to the other mandama, as the Gemara states, El mandama, but according to the mandama that hold tumah chamura, that when we have an avela which is considered tumah chamura, as we explained, since an avela is considered ava tumah, adla kelev, and the din is that it's considered a avela and it's bitame and it becomes tame until it's nifsal me'achilas kelev. But if you have a piece of actual nevela that's nifsal me'achilas adam, but is not yet nifsal me'achilas kelev, that piece of nevela would still have the shem nevela, and therefore would be metame a person. And if a person comes into contact with this nevela based on mago and masa, he would become tame and will be a rishon l'tumah. And it is according to this mandama, ma'ik l'meimba, that Abaye has the shayla, as netzel is an item that the Gemara at this point feels is nifsal me'achilas adam, but is not nifsal me'achilas kelev. And therefore, do we say that this netzel still has a din of a nevela, and therefore will be metame just like a piece of nevela would, because it's not yet nifsal me'achilas kelev? Or do we say that since it's disintegrated, therefore even though it did not yet reach the point of nifsal me'achilas kelev, would not be considered as an actual piece of nevela, and it would still not be metame a person? The Gemara continues, Tashma, and we will bring a raya from the din of nevela sa'if, and we know that there's a special din of tumah by nevela sa'if, where the Torah states, v'chol nefesh ha-shetoichel nevela u'treifa, be'ezach u'beger, v'chibis begadav, v'rachat b'mayim v'tomei yada'arv. Although by nevela behema, it's considered an avat tumah, and the din is that it's metame b'magav u'masa. However, the nevela of a kosher oif, called an oif tar, is only metame when someone eats it, and someone puts it into the beis habliya. In reality, the raya of the Gemara is not only because we're talking about a nevela's oif tar, the point is that we're talking about a nevela, and the Gemara feels there is no difference between the nevela of an oif and the nevela of a behema. And if the din is that yesh netzel behema, then there's a din of yesh netzel oif, and if there's a din that ain netzel behema, then the din would be that ain netzel oif. And there is also no question that if someone takes the fat, the shumar or chelev of an oif tar and swallows it, then since it goes into the beis habliya, then the person will become tummy. Our Gemara continues with the brisa that's found in Masechtas Chulin on Daf Kufchaf, Himchu Ba'ar. If Reuven takes a piece of chelev of an oif tar and now becomes a liquid, and he drank this fat, and therefore went to his beis habliya, he is still considered tummy. However, the brisa states that if instead of heating up in fire, he heated up by leaving it in sunlight, and he did it bechama, and the din is that since by leaving it in the heat of the sun, it will become spoiled, so then it's nifsal me'achilas adam, and therefore, if someone drank this liquid, it would be tar. And the Gemara now brings a raya, and we will learn based on the gears of the rush, isakadaitach yesh netzel behema, if the din of netzel applies even regarding a behema, and even though this nevela is now liquefied, still retains its din of the nevela, even though it was nifsal me'achilas adam, but it still was not nifsal me'achilas kelev, and therefore when a person drinks it and it goes into his beis habliya, he should be considered tummy, and therefore afilu b'cham nami, even if he heated it up in the sunlight, and therefore it's nifsal me'achilas adam. However, once a person drinks it, he should become tummy based on the fact that netzel, which is only nifsal me'achilas adam and was not yet nifsal me'achilas kelev, passed through his beis habliya. And the Gemara responds that we do not have a raya in this case, because emes mamchilei bas das ruach b'chama, when does fat liquefy and when does it melt? Only after it becomes disgusting and it's mamish mamish nifsil, not only mechilas adam, but even mechilas kelev, kimin de isra chavali ofar. And since at that point, it's already nifsil mechilas kelev, therefore it's considered like ofar ba'alma, and even if it would be a regular piece of nevela, it would not be mitame, and certainly since this is already liquefied, then it's not mitame either. However, from this brisa, you can't be meraya if yesh netzel behima or ein netzel behima, because in a chanami, it's possible that generally we would say yesh netzel behima, but lemaisa, it has to be at least in a position where the netzel is not yet nifsil mechilas behima. However, since in this case, the netzel is already nifsil mechilas kelev, if it was certainly, even if it would be a regular piece of chelev, it would not be mitame. And the Gemara is not poshit abayis shayla, and the Gemara continues with a new din. Thnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Maseches Machshirin, kolan nitzot tar, if someone has a liquid in keli A, and he also has a liquid in keli B, and he pours liquid from kli A into kli B, the din is that anything that pours from kli A into kli B and actually reaches kli B would become tame. However, anything that remains in kli A would remain tar. However, the Tanakhama say, chutz mi dvash hazifim vatsapichis, so we will explain exactly what these items are, but suffice it to say that these items are no longer a liquid and they're much more of a thick substance, and therefore the Tanakhama holds that in this case, if you pour this substance from kli A into kli B, not only would anything that falls into kli B be considered tame because it fell into a liquid which is tame, however, even the items which are still remaining in kli A after you completed pouring whatever you wanted to pour into kli B and now you stop pouring would also be considered tame. And as we'll see on Amud Beis, there are two possible explanations as to why these items potentially would be tame, even though these items that remained in kli A never went into kli B and never came into contact with anything that was tame that was in kli B. And the first possible explanation is that we consider the item that's in kli A to be considered mechuba to everything that's in kli B. And for example, if someone just imagines that someone's pouring dvash and they're pouring honey from kli A into kli B, so then everything that's dripping in from kli A into kli B is actually attached at some point, and therefore it forms some sort of a connection and some sort of electricity between kli A and kli B. Therefore, although it's true that the honey that remained in kli A never actually went into kli B, however, we consider it as if they actually came into contact and they actually went into kli B. And the second possible explanation is that we don't look at it as if they were mechuba. However, we have a problem over here because when you pour honey from kli A into kli B and you stop that flow, then as we know, when someone stops the flow of honey and they're trying to stop it completely at one point, it never stops at that point, and some of it drips back into the original kli. And according to the Tzad, some of the particles that drip back into kli A made its way into kli B and then drip back and had backflow into kli A. Therefore, it's metame everything that's in kli A. And what exactly is dvash hazifim and sepiches? The Taisus brings machlekes benigea dvash hazifim that's brought in Masechtas Saita on daf memches on beis, and the machlekes is between Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon says my zifim is dvash mezayfin oisai. It's honey which is considered a forgery from the lashon of ziyaf lefishu of yosim midai. Since this honey is naturally very thick, umesimim by mayim ve'inu nikar, and therefore the storekeepers would put water into it and water it down, and no one was able to notice that they actually were watering it down, and that's why it was called dvash hazifim. Reish Lakish ama alshem kaimai shenema zifatalam ubalis, that there's a place called zif, and this is the honey that came from that spot. But lemaisa, it's some sort of a thick substance. And Taisus also brings down two different pshatim as to what sepiches is. The first is like sepiches bedvash kaimai shiroida isim in akvaris muurve mashayva, that it's honey that's taken out of a beehive together with its honeycomb, and therefore it's a very thick honey. Taisus brings a second pshat from the Aruch that's talking about an isa shematukenes bedvash. It is some sort of a dough which is sweetened with honey, and this has a thick consistency. As Taisus continues, the mteshu of habe, since it's very thick, chashav oichel is considered like an oichel, uch ilu ha'elyon v'atachtu mu'rovin yachad zebezeh, and it's as if the upper kli and the bottom kli are considered more together, v'lkachanitzo chavik chibor, and therefore it is considered an attachment between the flow of the products that are coming out of kli A that are going into kli B. And we continue on daf nun on beis, and the Mishnah Machshirin continues and states, Beishame Imin, Beishame argues on the Tanakama, and he says that not only do we say this din, b'negeya, that type of honey that we discuss, but afa mikveh shel grisim shel pul, mipnei she'iser ledus l'achareah, that the same din applies to the nitzuk of a split bean porridge, or to some sort of a bean porridge, which Beishame hold that even though it's not as thick as the dvash hazifim and sepiches, however, l'maisa, it's thick enough that when someone tries to stop the flow of the porridge from kli A into kli B, when he stops it, there will actually be backflow, and some of this porridge will come back into kli A, and therefore, Beishame says, even in this case, not only would everything everything that fell into Kli B become Tameh, but even what is left in Kli A would still be considered Tameh. And let's just see the Lashon of the Rosh as well as Tosfos in order to clarify and to crystallize this in our minds. As the Rosh says, "M'pnei she'yisoledes l'achra, the ma'ora yisoh m'kli el kli, la'acha she'posak ha'kiluach," that after someone is pouring something from Kli A into Kli B, and you stop trying to pour it, ha'oimid soled v'kovitz m'pnei she'uav, then the substance that you're pouring from Kli A doesn't stop on a dime, and actually shrinks up and shrivels until it goes back into the original Kli. And Tosfos says, "K'shenishbach ha'tafshil shel mikvah u'pesach min lishboich, ha'oimid soled v'chayz l'achurav, y'toich she'tafshil av," because the power just thick, the isbeiriri, and therefore there are strands that come out and are sticky, and therefore there's a connection between Kli A and Kli B. The Gemara continues with the Shaila, "Boy Roin Bachama, Roin Bachama," asked the following Shaila, and the Rishonim explained that Roin Bachama Shaila is only relevant according to the Tanakama, and we'll discuss what the din would be according to Beis Shammai in a moment. So the Roin Bachama is, "Yesh Nitzik La'ichlin, or Ein Nitzik La'ichlin." According to the Tanakama, if someone takes a piece of chalev and heats it up, and now liquefies it, and now pours it from Kli A into Kli B, with the Tanakama hold that since there's a stream of liquid that is flowing between Kli A and Kli B, therefore, when you stop pouring from Kli A to Kli B, then would be that everything that remains in Kli A would still become Tamei and would be considered Tamei. Or do we say that even though it was flowing from Kli A into Kli B, Lemaisa we consider like a liquid, and therefore there would not be considered any Chiba between Kli A and Kli B, and after you stop pouring from Kli A into Kli B, anything that's left in Kli A would be considered tar. Rabbi Bachama explains the Shaila, "Mi amrina mishum de ispuriri." We say that the reason why the Tanakama stated that when someone takes dvash azifim or tzepichas and he pours it from Kli A into Kli B, that the din is that anything that remains in Kli A is tamei, is based on the fact that since these items are so thick, therefore, even after you stop pouring the items from Kli A into Kli B, some of the items that already touch Kli B will backflow back into Kli A, and therefore the items that are in Kli A would be tamei. And therefore, the Tanakama's din only applies to something that's as thick as something like dvash hazifim or tzepichas, because it's potential for some of that thick liquid to go back into Kli A. However, bahani less buriri, by liquefied chalev, there is no possibility that any liquid that comes out of Kli A will go back into Kli A, as lemais it's a liquid, and therefore it will fall right into Kli B, and there will never be any backflow and any cross contamination between Kli A and Kli B. And therefore, lefi de Tanakama, any remaining liquid of this melted chalev that remains in Kli A would still be considered tar. And the second side of Rabbi Bachama is, "Oidilma mishum de smichin hu v'hacha ha-smichin." What do we say that the pshat in Tanakama is that when you have a thick item such as dvash azifim and tzepichas, therefore when it's flowing from Kli A into Kli B, we look at it as if it's mechuba to each other, and therefore even though there potentially won't be any backflow between the items after you stop the flow of the liquids and you stop pouring from Kli A into Kli B, however, l'maisa, at the point that you were already pouring during that period of time, they were considered mechuba, and it's as if everything that was in Kli A actually is in Kli B, and they're touching each other. And therefore, when someone has liquefied chalev, even though it's not a sticky substance and it's not like a honey where it will flow back into Kli A, but l'maisa, while you're pouring from Kli A into Kli B, there's a continuous flow of chalev that's going from Kli A into Kli B, and that forms a chiba between the items that are in Kli A and the items that are in Kli B, and therefore everything that's in Kli A is considered as if it was in Kli B mamish, and therefore it's considered tamei. And before we continue with the Gemara's rayas, let's just point out the Rishonim certainly state that Roin Bachama Shaila is only according to the Tanakama. However, according to Beis Shammai, certainly Beis Shammai's lashon was mepnei she'yisoledes l'achra, and therefore clearly we see that Beis Shammai holds that the reason why the items that are left in Kli A are tamei are because we're concerned that there was cross contamination, and items that already went into Kli B will now make its way and backflow back into Kli A. And therefore, in this case, where someone heated up chalev, where definitely it's not a sticky substance, and therefore there's not going to be any backflow, and there won't be any cross-contamination, Beis Shammai would agree that it would actually be tar, and therefore it comes out that in this case, Beis Shammai would be mekel, and potentially in this case, the Rami Bachoma has a shayla according to Tanakama, then on the side that lefita Tanakama, that the heated chalev that's in Kli A would be considered tamei, that would be a case where the Tanakama would be more machmer than Beis Shammai. And the Gemara continues and tries to bring a raya to the shayla of Rami Bachoma, Amurava Tashma, bring your raya from a brisa. The brisa states that chalev ha-meis shu sholem v'tichoy tamei. We know that chalev ha-meis has the same din as basa ha-meis, and just like basa ha-meis is metam b'kazayis, so chalev ha-meis is also metam b'kazayis. So if someone takes a kezias of chaylev and it's complete, and it was all from one area of an animal, and it was never detached from each other, and therefore at all times it had all dinim of a mace. And if someone was in the oil together with this chaylev, or someone touched it and came into contact with it, they would become tummy mace, and then someone heated it up and liquefied it. So the din is that chaylev would still be considered tummy. However, hayimufurid v'tichay tar, someone had various small pieces of chaylev, and each piece was less than a kezias. However, in total, if you put it all together, it would be considered a kezias. So this could happen either where someone took various pieces of chaylev from different animals, or if it came from one animal, and they took a piece of chaylev from one part of the animal, which was less than a kezias, and they also took another piece of chaylev from another part of this animal, which was also less than a kezias. And certainly, if someone would touch each piece of that chaylev on its own, then they definitely would not become tamei mace, as l'maisa he did not touch a piece of chaylev which was larger than a kezias, and therefore that piece of chaylev doesn't have a din of tumah. It's not considered tamei, and it can't transmit tumah. And the Tosefta teaches us that even if a person would go and heat up those pieces of chaylev which were less than a kezias each, and now that it liquefies, the entire liquid is more than a kezias, the din is that even if a person touches it, they would not become tamei. And the Rush explains, based on the Tosefta, p'nei shechibur adam ein chibur, by the fact that someone went and attached different pieces of chaylev in order to form a kezias, that's not considered a valid chibur. And like the Rush says, v'koydim shetichoy loyim metamei negeim miksasai. And since if someone would touch each piece of this chaylev which was less than a kezias prior to heating it up, then he would not be tamei. Oyafilo negeim bekulai. And even if Ruvain would touch each piece of this chaylev that's less than a kezias, but ultimately he touched a full kezias of chaylev, he's still not going to be tamei. At least according to the Mandama that says negeim v'chayzev negeia is not tamei, and therefore hilchach ki yaticha v'chaber bidei adam lo yitamei. At this point, it's not going to be mitamei the person. And the Rush is bothered that even though we learned before, if you're Rabbi Kiva, if someone has a revius dam that came from two corpses, the din is that it would be considered tamei and the mitzarev. And the same is true if someone takes two half a zaysim from two different corpses, the din is that they would be mitamei. Yesh loyma zok the Rush hainu in oil tamei that in a chenami, that would be if they're both in oil. Therefore, the oil connects them and makes them considered as if they are one piece. And that was not a chibur that came al yedei adam. It came based on the Torah's klal that an oil could be mitzarev things together, and therefore they can transmit tumah. However, over here, if a person touches each individual piece of chaylev that's less than a kezias, but ultimately he touches a full kezias of chaylev, that's not going to be mitamah b'maga. And Rava continues with his raya, v'isal k'daitach ein itzik lo'ichlin, if you're going to tell me that even if two items are connected based on a thin strand, that is not considered a valid connection. And if so, then shalom v'etichoy nami l'tar. So l'chari, in the first case of this brisa, where it was chaylev ha'meishu shalom v'etichoy, that we stated would be tamei, l'chari, even though when you began the process of melting this fat, the fat was full kezias. However, as we know, when someone melts something, it doesn't all melt at one moment. And at some point, there was some liquid of this fat that was removed from the fat itself and flowed down in the pot and was not touching the fat completely. And there were only small strands that attached the liquefied fat to the fat itself. And l'chayra, if you're going to say that that's not considered a valid connection, then l'chayra, at some point, this fat, which originally was a kezias, became a piece of fat that was less than a kezias. And as we stated before, that once you have a piece of fat that is no longer the share of a kezias, it loses its status of tumah. And even if at a later point you go and take the entire liquefied chaylev and you put it together, and once again it is now a complete kezias, but l'maisa we stated that in chibur b'dei adam, and you can't reconstitute a kezias once you lost the status of this chaylev being a kezias. And l'chayra, how could a rasha state that this liquefied chaylev is considered tamei and will transmit tumah? And the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Zera, Rav Zera stated, Ano ma'abrit Ravina, myself as well as ma'abrit Ravina to Gimna, we explained that brisa, that hachamay skinan, that the brisa is talking about a very specific case where this original piece of chaylev, which originally was a kezias, never lost its kezias status and never became less than a kezias. And the case was going to behavi de mertichle solakamudel pume de mana vikarish the isekula gabe adadi, where when Reuven heated up this fat, he heated it up to such a degree that it all became a liquid at the same time, and the entire fat went up and jumped up to the top of the container. And at that point, it got caught up in that area and it cooled down in one moment, and then it congealed at that moment. And therefore, at all times, it was always a kezias and never lost its status of tumah, and that's why it is tamei. You can't bring me raya from this brisa that yesh nitzuk la'ichlin. And before we continue, let's just read the end of Taisa Dibu Maskal Hayim Mefara, where Taisa says, "Vim Taima Tifshe Mehacha de Chibur Adam Einu Chibur." It seems that the Gemara is naming on that the din of Chibur Adam is the Einu Chibur. chibur, and lemaisa this is machlekes, and therefore the we should be able to bring a raya from this brisa that chibur adam in a chibur. And Taisa says v'yesh loyma having dafka b'tumas meis, that the only time that we stated that chibur adam is not considered chibur is only b'negeya din of tumas meis shatum b'mi menu letzafer lekizayis letam erim, because the tumas coming together in order to be mitzaref to kizayis, in order to be mitam of other people on such a high level of being tummy meis v'efshaliyah shekina kabbalah. However, in the din of tumas oichlin, we only want to go and complete the din of tumim chabeya. Hasam chiba adam havi chiba. Over there, potentially, we would say that chiba adam is a chiba. Ki hach the chala oichlin mitstafel chabeya. Just like the standard din of chala oichlin would be mitstafel chabeya. Ayin and Taisus. And the Gemara continues and tries to bring another raya to the shayla of Rani Bachama. Omle Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi, Tashma, bring your raya from the Mishnah in Machshirin that we brought on daf nun amud aleph. We saw that Bishamai continued on daf nun amud beis and stated Bishamai Umrim Afha mikvah shel grisim shel pul replacing seldom lachirin. Bishamai argued on the Tanakama and he stated not only would we say b'negei dvash hazifim and tzepichis that the items that remain in kliyei would be considered tamei, but even in the case of the split bean porridge or the bean porridge that the same din would apply, and any item that remains in kliyei would be considered tamei. And Bishamai actually gave us reason mipnei shiyus lachirea, because there's backflow and it goes back into kliyei, and therefore we see that the reason for the machlekes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is based on the concept of nitzuk. And according to Beis Shammai, he holds that even by a parage there is backflow, and therefore we say that the items that remain in kliyei are considered tamei. However, the Tanakama argues in Beis Shammai and says, even though I agree that the reason why to become tamei is based on backflow, I only hold that there's backflow by something like dvash hazifim or tzepichas, but by something like a parage which is not such a thick consistency, there is no backflow. Therefore, the items that remain in kliyei would not be considered tamei. Therefore, Ravina brings a raya that l'chayra, the pshat in the Tanakama, is based on backflow, and therefore, even though chilev that's heated up and is liquefied is thick, and therefore there's potential chibo between kliyei and kliyei, but l'chayra, that's not the pshat that things in kliyei become tamei, and the pshat is based on the stickiness of the item, and since chilev that's heated up is not sticky, there won't be any backflow from kliyei back into kliyei, and therefore l'chayra, we should be able to be pashut that according to the Tanakama, he would hold if you heat up chilev, the din would be that anything that remains in kliyei would be tar and would not be considered tamei. And the Gemara answers that there is no raya from the Mishnah Maseches Machshirin, because mi de'irya, who said the machlekes in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is based on a metzias as to what has backflow and what item does not have backflow, but hasa mishum desmichin hacha mishum riri, and ein chenami, the machlekes between the Tanakama and Beis Shammai is gufa as to why the items that remain in the kliyei are considered tamei. According to Tanakama, it's based on the thickness of the item, and if there is actual connection between kliyei and kliyei, therefore even though there's no backflow, the items in kliyei would still be considered tamei because we consider that they were connected to kliyei. However, according to Beis Shammai, it's not based on connection, it's based on actual backflow, and that's why Beis Shammai says that parage would also have backflow, and that's why the parage in kliyei would be considered tamei, as lemaisa there must have been some backflow that went back from kliyei into kliyei, and therefore it was metame all the items that are still in kliyei. And once again, the Gemara is not paisha the shaila, and the Gemara continues and discusses the fourth item listed in the Mishnah on daf mem tesam beis, which is metame in nazir, and nazir will have to be megaleach and will have all dinim of a nazir tamei. And the fourth thing was val moli tarvid rekev, if someone has a ladleful that came from the dust of a corpse that disintegrated. And our Gemara is v'kamish yurai, what is the share of this ladleful? So chizki amar, chizki states moli pisi yad, this is the share of the palm of a hand, which is the palm itself and does not include his fingers. And Rabbi Yechon Omar, Rabbi Yechon argues on Chizkia, and he says that it's actually the share of a handful of this dust, and the handful includes a person's palm as well as his fingers. And the Gemara continues and will ask a question on Chizkia, Tran or Asama Geris Tanya, as this is really a brisa, Moli Tavid Rekav Sha'amru, the share of this ladleful of corpse dust, there is a machlekes between Rameya and Chachamim. So Rameya holds Yeshna Me'ikat Spaisul Maila Divra Ameya, the share is the amount of dust that fits into his fingers from the bottom of his fingers to the tips of his fingers, which sounds like the Ramei is saying from the point where a person's palms ends and upwards towards the top of the fingers. And the Chacham argue on Ramei and they say Moloi Chafanav, that includes the entire fist, including the palm as well as his fingers. And the Gemara says Bishlam Rabbi Yechon Hu Damak Rabbanan. So according to Rabbi Yechon, it makes a lot of sense because he's going like the Shita Chachamim that the share of Moloi Tavid Rakav is actually the share of a handful. However, El Chizkiah, according to Chizkiah, that says says it's actually his palmful, which does not include his fingers. Loikra Meir, he's not going like Rameya, because Rameya says the shear is the amount of dust that fits into his fingers, and Veloikra Banan, and Chizkia doesn't work out. According to Rabbanan, because to Rabbanan state, they have to have a full fistful, including your palm as well as your fingers. And the Gemara gives us two terutzim. Number one, Amri, they said, Mali Pisa Yad, Mali Kishriat Space of Lemaila, Chad Shiruhu, that in Chinami, the shear that Chizkia gave and the shear that Rameya gave are actually the same shear, as Chizkia's shear, which includes the palm and does not include the fingers, is the same exact shear as Rameya's shear, because Rameya's shear, which started from the bottom of the fingers to the tips of the finger, actually would hold the same exact shear of dust as a person can hold in the palm of his hand. And the Gemara continues with the second teretz. Amrei Rav Shimon bar Ada l'Rav Papa. Rav Shimon bar Ada said the following to Rav Papa: "Mimayd hay mekishrei tzbeisa l'mayla l'roish." How do we know that Rameya stated that the shear of moli tavir karakav is the amount of this dust that fits into a person's hand from the bottom of his fingers to the top of his fingers when he's utilizing his hand, and therefore his fingers are facing upwards? Dilma l'mata midyade. What Rameya really said is the shear of a ladle full of corpse dust, the amount of dust that will fit into a person's palm, which is exactly the same shear of Chizkia. And what he meant to say is that we're starting the shear from the bottom of a person's fingers and downwards towards his wrist, which is exactly the same shear as Chizkia. And even though Rameya's lashon was that me'iket spice ulamaygla, that's going upwards, he's not referring to when a person's using his hand. He's actually referring when a person's hand is at his sides and is standing stable. And then when you look at your hands at that point, it would make sense to define that and to refer to that as starting from the knuckles of your fingers and going upwards towards your wrist. Even though the Gemara ends off Teku, there's not really a Shiloh over here. There's just a question as to the machlekes between Rameya and the Chachamim, and a question between Chizki and Rabbi Echron. And therefore, Taisa is not curious the words Teku, and we will stop over here.